On Sunday, October 4th at 11 p.m., Suge and My Bowl presents saxophonist, composer of his 3-CD debut as a leader, the epic Kamasi Washington. Join us as we spend a little time with Kamasi Washington and prepare ourselves for his upcoming New York dates. That's Sunday, October 4th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. FM and WBAI.org on the web. Suge and My Bowl's the name of this program, and tonight's guest is tenor saxophonist and composer Kamasi Washington. Kamasi Washington has a huge release, The Epic, on Brain Feeder. It was released earlier this year, and Kamasi is going to visit New York for a couple of performances. We'll mention it later in the program. Extra special thanks to Brandy Younger, Megan Stabile, Janice Wang, Banch Abagaze, hopefully I've pronounced his name correctly, for helping to connect me with Kamasi Washington. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Suge and My Bowl coming up now.
I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar.
Hi, my name is Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with
Kamasi Washington.
Kamasi Washington, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl.
Oh, cool.
And I'm so grateful to be able to talk to you.
Oh, well, I'm glad you made it happen.
So you're blowing up, huh? With the epic?
Well, I'm trying to keep the wheel turning.
Well, first off, let me say, the epic is fantastic. I love it. I know I am later than others, but I'm just in time for your appearance in October as part of the Brick Jazz Festival. You got that on your calendar?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so I know you're not coming with the 80 people that you have on your recording. What folks are you bringing to New York?
I'm bringing a 7-piece. Such a special guest.
So
I'm bringing Miles Mosley on bass, Ronald Boomer on drums, Tony Austin is another drummer. I'm bringing Brandon Coleman on piano and keys, and I'm bringing Ryan Porter on trombone, and Patrice Quinn on vocals. And then my dad is traveling with, so he's going to come play sound for us too, like a special guest.
Oh, excellent.
Derek Martin in the house, another special guest.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. So your father, Ricky Washington, is going to join us.
Yeah.
Your father and instructor. You want to tell us how Wayne Shorter factors into your playing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was one of the first saxophone players that I really fell in love with. Matter of fact, like the first song I ever played on the saxophone was a Wayne Shorter song. And I actually got to meet him a few times and actually played with him once through the Monk Institute. Yeah, this was really cool.
Yeah, was that a Sleeping Dancer Sleep On?
Thank you.
I was sleeping death and sleep on. My dad, you know, I came up playing music since I was about 3 years old. My first instrument was drums, and then I switched over to piano, and then I switched over to clarinet because my dad wouldn't let me play saxophone. He wanted to play saxophone, but he wouldn't let me. He wanted me to learn how to play clarinet and flute first. But one day, he left his saxophone out, and I was just determined to start playing saxophone. So I was like, I'm going to just figure out how to play something on the saxophone. So they'll let me switch, and I kind of just figured out how to play Sleeping Death and Sleep On. I didn't really know what my notes were, but I just kind of figured it out by ear. And I ran and showed him I could play that, and he was like, okay, he let me switch, and he took me 2 days later to go play at my uncle's church. And I was like, the start of my saxophone playing.
How old were you at that time?
I was about 12, 12, almost 13, eighth grade.
Why did he want you to play clarinet first?
Well, he grew up in the 70s where if you're a saxophone player, you really have to be a doubler if you want to work.
Oh, okay.
So his logic was that, like, he knew I really wanted to play the saxophone, and the saxophone is kind of the easiest of the three. So, if you want to be a saxophone player, you have to play saxophone, flute, and clarinet. So he didn't have to learn the hard ones first. Because he thought, he was right, really. I went to a script over the saxophone, I wouldn't take the clarinet flute that seriously. To his credit, he was right.
So he was also your teacher, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a saxophone player, so again, you know, doing my first saxophone, getting, you know, all the books and lessons. You know, it was a musical household. It wasn't like taking a class or like regular lessons like that. It was kind of like just, you know, he was hearing me practicing and telling me all the things I was doing wrong.
Forgive yourself. I said, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself, you're not to blame. Forgive yourself, there is no shame. Sometimes things happen for a reason, and we don't understand why. We take the blame and the pain with tears in our eyes. You can't hold on to what happened in the past. You got to move on and forgive yourself. I said, forgive yourself. I'm sorry, that's what we had to say, softly in a quiet exchange. The truth from within took its place on center stage. Like a rainbow casting its shadow down from the light. It was over. You could see it written on our faces. The truth was painful, but it was all right. Forgive yourself. You're not to blame. Forgive yourself. There is no shame. Forgive yourself and forget. Take a load off your mind. Forgive yourself, relax and unwind. Like a handshake gone bad, we knew what we had was good, but it was over now. Relaxation for tired bodies, hurt hearts, and made up minds. There were no words left to say, a part of both of us moving to the music of a different drummer. You could tell, we knew it for a while. We could rest now, be still, our lives a little calmer, without all the drama. Forgive yourself, you're not to blame. Forgive yourself, there is no shame. Forgive yourself and forget. Take a load off your mind. The ending was sure, and we understood why. Our eyes face to face, flowers to bloom again. No regrets, the two of us slowly moving to the rhythm of a new pace. Yeah, time to move on and run in a different race. Another chance to hold hands and find romance. A different song on which to dance. Yeah. Forgive yourself. You're not to blame. I said, forgive yourself. There is no shame. The sun is still shining upon two young youthful faces. Yeah. Time to drink the cool sweet nectar we call forgiveness. What we had was good, but it couldn't last. Sweet memories cherish, yet we wish to forget what happened in the past. Time to think of better times, good times, happy days, passionate warm summer nights. Someone else is waiting and ready to share our lives. What's over is over. It's hellos, not goodbyes. Gone are the tears and the wondering why. Forgive yourself. holding hands into the middle of the night. Forgive yourself, take a heavy load off your mind. I said, forgive yourself, relax and unwind. Forgive yourself, you're not to blame. Forgive yourself, there is no shame. Forgive yourself and forget. Said, forgive yourself.
Your mother was a singer.
My mom was a science teacher. She's a chemistry teacher. But she also played flute.
That's it.
I was really into science and math growing up, too. So that was her influence. I almost ended up being a flute major in college.
Oh. But, you stayed on the musical path, huh?
Yeah, well, it was funny. I mean, I applied to UCLA and USC, and USC denied me as a music major and accepted me as a physics major.
Oh, wow.
I took, like, AP physics and AP calculus and stuff like that in high school, so it was like, it made a little bit of sense. And then UCLA accepted me as a music major, and I went to UCLA in the summer, and I took, like, a calculus class, and I took a microbiology class, and that let me know that I wanted to be a musician. Wasn't the same as playing in high school, you know. So,
yeah.
Okay, I like it, though. I don't like it that much. You know?
Well, in high school, apparently, you were, went in a jazz band?
Yeah. I was in a couple of jazz bands. I played in a jazz band at Hamilton High School. My high school was a music academy. There was a jazz band. There was a wind ensemble. There was an orchestra. So I was in all of those. And then I was also in a band outside of school called the Multi-School Jazz Band. And that was led by Reggie Andrews, who was also my dad's teacher. He kind of had an all-star band. He went out and found all the best kids from the inner city and some kids, you know, who weren't from the inner city. And, you know, it was a band called the Multi-School Jazz Band. And we rehearsed at Locke High School every Tuesday. And that's where I really kind of, like, developed my love for music, because those kids were so good in that band. They really motivated me and pushed me to really take music seriously, because they were playing the same as I was, and, like, they had a similar, like, connection to music that I had.
did you meet a couple of your fellow musicians during that time?
Well, I actually met them before that. It was an, oh. That was also a funny part of that. I met them when we were really young. Ron Bruner and Thundercat and Ryan Coleman and Tommy Austin. We knew each other in elementary school, but we fell out of contact. Well, I met Ron when I was 3 years old.
Oh.
in middle age in elementary school, we kind of fell out of contact. You know, it was like before Facebook and people people had cell phones.
Right.
Somebody see you in person, you know, it was kind of like that was it.
Right.
But we actually got reacquainted in Malkin School. Exactly what Reggie Andrews wanted us to have happen. You know, kids who grew up around each other, but didn't. Weren't playing with each other anymore because they went to different schools.
Now, I noticed that there's one thing that really stands out for me in the epic, your treatment of the eulogy to Malcolm X.
Yeah.
That was delivered by Ossie Davis.
Listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. What you're listening to right now is Malcolm's theme that is from the epic, Kamasi Washington's 3-CD debut on Brain Feeder, released earlier this year. And before that, we heard Family from Young Jazz Giants. That's the name of the band, and that's the name of the release. That's a 2004 Birdman Records release. Before that, we heard Kamasi Washington's father, Ricky Washington. And Kamasi Washington shares composer credits here as well on Forgive Yourself from Two Leaves. That's Ricky Washington 2007 release. Before that, we heard Sleeping Dancer Sleep from Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. That's a Wayne Shorter composition from Like Someone in Love, a 1966 Blue Note Records release. Before that, we heard Change of the Guard, the opening track from the 3-CD The Epic release from Kamasi Washington, as mentioned, 2015 Brain Feeder release. And we opened the program with our theme, Nina Simone, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, from Nina Simone, the very best of Nina Simone, Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. That is an RCA BMG release, originally recorded in 1967, and this is from a 1998 RCA BMG compilation. Stay tuned for On the Bandstand with our associate producer, Hank Williams, and we'll then hear more from Kamasi Washington and others of which he has been associated. Right here on Sugar in My Bowl, on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
Again, Afro-American, as he would want me to those who tell us to feed his memory, we smile and say to you.
I have to straighten out my own position, and which is clear, I am not a racist in any form whatsoever. I don't believe in any form of racism. I don't believe in any form of discrimination or segregation. I believe in Islam. I'm a Muslim, and there's nothing wrong with being a Muslim. Nothing wrong with the religion of Islam. That just teaches us to believe in Allah as the God, and those of you who are Christians probably believe in the same God, because I think you believe in the God who created the universe, and that's the one we believe in, the one who created the universe. The only difference being, you call him God, and we call him Allah. Jews call him Jehovah. If you could understand Hebrew, you'd probably call him Jehovah too. If you can understand Arabic, you'd probably call him Allah. But since the white man, your friend, took your language away from you during slavery, the only language you know is his language, you know, your friend's language. So you call him, you call for the same God he calls for. When he's putting a rope around your neck, you call for God, he calls for God. But the real religion of Islam doesn't teach anyone to judge another human being by the color of his skin. The yardstick that is used by the Muslim to measure another man is not the man's color, but the man's skin, the man's conscious behavior, the man's intention. And when you use that as a standard of measurement or judgment, you never go wrong.
No more a man, but a seed which will come forth again. We'll know him as a prince. Our own black shining prince who died because he loved us so.
How did you wind up including that?
Well, what was I doing? I was watching the movie, and I heard that you were in the movie, and I ended up looking it up online and just reading it. You know, it was so poetic. I don't know, I got the idea of maybe trying to make a song out of it. I mean, I know I wanted to pay a tribute to Miles. I mean, he's always been a very important figure to me. So that's how I ended up thinking to put that together and do that song.
And the shared lead vocalists are Patrice Quinn and Dwight Tribble, which are, they're really good on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Started off with Just Patrice Queen, and then when I was listening to it, I know I'm opting here around one of the male voice to be in it as well. And then the first person I thought of was the White Tribble. You know, he's a local hero, and like, you know, I've always loved his voice, and I always wanted to have him sing on something with me. So yeah, hit him up, and he told me down. Everything that I listen to, everything I hear, everything I do, kind of like it finds its way into my music, from the books I read to the people I know to the gigs I've been on. And definitely the music that I listen to. So I listen to a lot of music. You know, like a lot of the art, even like visual art that I've seen affected me in my music in one way or the other.
What contributes to your arrangement of vocals? How do you find yourself arranging for vocals? Is it different than arranging for instrumentalists?
I mean, when I'm arranging for anything, it ends up just being me trying to put on paper what I'm hearing in my head. So I guess the message is the same, but I don't know. I mean, I guess yes and no.
Okay. So I understand you, when you were recording this particular set of recordings, out of 49, we wound up with 17. You have like three different projects going on that came from this recording session?
Well, I didn't really plan for the D3 project or a four different project. We were in the studio, we decided to come together and go in the studio for a whole month. So I basically just kind of record a bunch of songs and then see what would come of it, you know. I ended up with 17 songs that really kind of fit together and that really felt like one statement. The other songs were great, but they didn't necessarily fit in with one another, and they wanted to say exactly what I was going for with those songs in particular. So my approach was kind of more like, record a bunch of stuff and then kind of take a step back and see what I have, you know.
So how difficult was it, or was it difficult to choose, to select, to find the theme?
Oh, yeah, it was crazy difficult. It took me like 6 months.
Oh.
Really, can like choose those 17 songs. And I really had to take a couple of months off and just step away from it to really kind of be able to hear it for what it is again. And then even from all 17, I was really actually trying to reduce that into one album, but it just felt like one statement, one kind of one story, and I ended up just keeping it all together to kind of keep that continuity. Like they felt like one statement, and it didn't feel like they needed to be separated.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for October 4th. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can see them live. And this week's guest is saxophonist Kamasi Washington. You can see him live at Brooklyn's Brick Jazz Fest on October 15th and in Manhattan at Les Poissons Rouges on the 16th. Info is at the Brick website, that's BRIC, and we have a lot more music for you this week. Drummer Antonio Sanchez and vocalist Tana Alexa are at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Dizzy's Club on October 6th to 7th. Drummer Jeff Tane Watts is at the Jazz Standard with Yosvani Terry from October 8th to the 10th. Then the New York chapter of the AACM kicks off its month-long 50th anniversary celebration at the Community Church of New York on East 35th Street with a panel discussion and performance with pianist Muhal Richard Abrams on the 9th and performances every Friday after that in October. Guitarist Mark Rebo is at National Sawdust in Brooklyn on the 9th to the 10th with John Zorn. And there's a tribute to the late Amiri Baraka at Newark Symphony Hall on the 10th. Guests include Felipe Luciano, saxophonist Oliver Lake, saxophonist Renee McLean, poet Jessica Kerr Moore, James Mtume, and poet Quincy Troop, among others. Details are at the Symphony Hall website. Pianist Randy Weston presents the Genoa Master Musicians of Morocco at New School's Tishman Auditorium for a performance on the 13th, and he's at a tribute to Dr. John Henry Clark at Medgar Evers College on the 10th. Info on the Dr. Clark event is at the Medgar Evers website. We mentioned the Brick Arts Jazz Fest at the top of the segment, and there are other sugar guests to keep an eye out for. Harpist Brandy Younger has a set on the 15th, and organ master Dr. Lonnie Smith leads his Evolution Ensemble on the 16th. Drummer percussionist Bobby Sanabria has a free show with Larry Harlow's Latin Legends Band at the Brooklyn Heights Library at 2 o'clock on the 17th. Finally, vibraphonist Roy Ayers is at the Blue Note from the 17th to the 22nd. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog. And sugar is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are on the website as well. If you like what we do, please help WBAI stay on the air by pledging whatever you can and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. See the Support WBAI link on our website to find out more. This is Hank Williams signing off. With our bi-weekly schedule, we're off the air next week, but we'll have updated event listings online, and we're scheduled to be back on WBAI on Sunday the 18th. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
Listening to WBAI 99.5 FM Pacifica Radio and online at WBAI.org.
The role of media in a democratic society should be to empower people to make decisions.
WBAI, speaking truth to power for over 50 years.
You have very few powerful media outlets that are actually doing the two things that I think are the most central aims of good journalism, which is to give voice to the voiceless and hold those in power accountable.
WBAI, your community alternative.
Well, I noticed that you played with Gerald Wilson, and you also dedicated a recording on the Epic to Gerald Wilson, your version of Clair de Lune, which I think is really beautiful.
Thank you.
How did you wind up dedicating that to him?
Well, he inspired it, really. He really took me under his wing. We talked about music a lot over the years, and he can tell me how soulful the French 20th century composers were. And he did management on Clair de Lune. His treatment of it kind of inspired my treatment of it.
Oh, okay. How did you wind up being around him?
He was a professor at UCLA.
Okay.
So when I started at UCLA, I had a great friend who's a brilliant musician named Isaac Smith, who played with Gerald. And it was funny, like one day we were walking down the hall together, and Isaac saw Gerald. I was like, "Hey, Gerald." So they started talking. And Isaac knew I was a huge fan of Gerald Wilson before, like since high school. And Isaac told Gerald, "Hey, Gerald, you get a saxophone player, he's great," and he loves your music. And Gerald was like, "He plays saxophone? He's like, I need a saxophone player for a gig I got." I was like 2 days later.
Oh, my goodness.
"Can you do it?" And I was like, "Yes, I can." I ended up subbing for somebody on that gig, and then he started calling me regularly to sub for, one of the other center players. And then he added me in his band as like a third tenor. He had regular five saxophone players, and he had me just play along with them, almost like a soloist. And I could play parts too. I was kind of using my discretion as to what parts I would play. Then took me to New York with him to play with his New York band and record with his New York band. And, he kept me with him the whole time. Since about 2001.
Oh, beautiful. Now, I noticed you also played with George Duke a lot. How'd that happen?
I recorded with George Duke on the last three albums.
It drew me in. Love the way it made me. be what you want it to be. It's the yin and the yang.
As Cannon used to say,
Gabbert's touring with him, did a couple of live shows with him, but not a lot, a whole lot of live shows. And Dizzy Chancellor and
that's the drummer.
Miller are the ones who introduced me to George Duke. And my best friend Ron Bruner, he was playing with him too, and I was playing with Stanley Clark as well.
Yeah. So did playing with Gerald Wilson open the door for all of these others, or you just, it just happened?
And I was, and still am pretty active.
Okay.
And Dudu, actually, I knew him, Dudu, from that high school band, a multi-school jazz band. And Dudu used to come down to that band and teach us. And Byron Miller I met just, you know, playing around town. I'm sure playing with Gerald Wilson helped. You know what I mean? People would see me playing with Gerald and, you know, they may become familiar with me. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like you play a lot of gigs around town and you just start developing a reputation. And then people, you know, they meet someone, they think of you. And then it wasn't like a direct, like, this person put me into that situation.
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of like that, though.
Yeah.
Like, when George is looking for a saxophone player, I don't know exactly how the conversation went down, but in Boogie and Byron Miller were the ones who told him to call me.
So you want to tell me about Henrietta, our hero?
Thank you.
So he said, I hear loads of songs from my grandmother, my dad's mother. And she's a very special woman. I mean, she didn't have a lot of education. She didn't have a lot of money. She struggled a lot with, you know, like, her mental health. But, like, she's like the rock that we all could depend on. She's kind of lived her life, you know, for her family.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she raised three, my dad and both his brothers. And then she helped raise all the grandkids. She helped my dad and both his brothers buy their first house. She gave me my first car, my older brother his first car. And, you know,
wow.
She was a, you know, a very small woman, very simple woman, but like a very great woman. Mm-hmm. I just look at her as like an example, because so often we look at, you know, what people have and not so much what they do with what they have.
So there's one song you do. There's like so many songs on the, I mean, hell, there's 17. So there's one that, Next Step.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very sort of, to me, Stanley Turrentine-like. It has that feel.
Mm, yeah.
Did you ever listen to him, or?
Oh, yeah. Stanley Turrentine and Gene Allman. Yeah, I definitely love that. Soulful tenor sound, for sure.
And let's see, I think I read somewhere, well, your father played in a fusion band, a jazz fusion?
A gospel fusion band with Lionel Boone and Thundercat. Because they had this gospel fusion band when I was a little kid. And actually, my third birthday party, Ronald Brunner Sr. brought his kids to the party. Ronald Brunner Jr. and Thundercat. Thundercat was like an infant. I was turning 3. Ronald was like a year and a half, almost 2. I got a drum set for my birthday. So I was playing the drum set. And then there was like a rumor that there was like a little baby that could play drums. So that's why I met Ronald. We had a drum battle. He was 1.5 and I was 3. Still fight over who won it.
I understood you conceded, though.
But don't tell him I don't.
Yeah, you folks have really known each other a long time.
Thank you.
So whose project is coming next out of all of this? Has it been determined?
I'll figure out. It'll probably be either Ronald Boomer, Brandon Coleman, or Miles Mosley. Or maybe Cameron Gray. We're trying to figure out who's going to put it out there, who's going to put them out. We're trying to figure out a way to keep them all together.
Uh-huh.
So we're looking for a home for them.
Oh. So they're not going to be in the home where you are with Flying Lotus and the label there?
We're talking to them about it.
Oh, okay. Brain feeder.
They're definitely in the conversation.
Well, that is just a major project that I'm still enjoying. Where do you listen to music? Who do you listen to?
I listen to music all over the place. I mean, I listen to all kinds of stuff. I mean, I've been really into this Armenian composer named Aram Khachaturian. I've been listening to a lot lately. I've kind of been on a bit of a Ben Webster kick. I got some really cool Indira music from Zimbabwe. I'm kind of all over the place.
Okay, that's good.
The music. You know, Lauren Wulu from the UK. I don't know, but I mean, I have a lot of records, so I end up all over the place. When I was younger, I was kind of more stuck on one person. Now, I end up today, I'm listening to this, tomorrow I'm listening to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's another thing I'm happy to hear on this release is an active, very prominent djembe.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the person playing the djembe?
That is Leon the Lion, Leon Mosley, from all the prisoners.
Yeah, that was, you know that, I guess it was your release that was played on NPR, I guess, or they filmed it or something. So I was able to find it, you know, and it was just amazing just hearing an active and very prominent djembe. Beautiful.
Yeah, that was amazing because, you know, he got held up. So actually, on part of that, you're seeing Manyango Jackson just happened to be there.
Oh, wow.
And Manyango stepped in for Leon, and then I didn't know Leon was there. So I heard the djembe getting played, and I was like, I turned around, and there Leon was. You know. he missed the first part of the show.
Oh, sweat.
I didn't think he was going to make it. And turn around, and there he was.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Going in.
Do you know how long your set's going to be in Brooklyn at the Break Jazz Festival in October?
Minutes. I think it's 90 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe 75. I got to look. As you see, I'm quite prepared.
So I guess with whatever time you do have, you're going to jam in as much of the 17 songs you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of times we play live. I mean, I try not to rush. I'll go for letting the song kind of develop into something cool more than I'll go for, like, trying to rush to get more songs in a set. You know what I mean? Because, like, when we play live, I like it to feel like the record, but in the sense that the record is free and it moves very naturally and organically. And the same thing happens live, and it ends up being the song is different every night. It's like a cool difference every night, you know?
And that's how the music should be. Because it's not supposed to sound like the record. That's great. That's wonderful. And I am so looking forward to your appearance at the Brick Jazz Festival. So, what's next?
Well, we have this tour we're doing. We're rounding up the U.S. shows pretty soon. We're headed to Australia, Japan, and Europe.
Oh, okay.
You know, after that, we're going to kind of regroup and figure out what we're going to do for the next year, and I'm trying to get some of those other albums out. You know, there's a lot of different stuff to kind of take the next step, if you would.
Oh, it's wonderful. I really appreciate the time that you spent with us, Kamasi Washington. Is there anything else you want to share to the WBAI listening audience?
Yeah, hey, you know, check us out on October 15th and 16th here. Looking forward to get back in New York. There's such a great energy out there. It's always cool, of course.
Well, thank you so much, Kamasi Washington, and continued success. And prosperity and good health and all that great stuff. So we can hear more from you.
Cool.
Love you is complicated. Love you is complicated. Love you is complicated. Place blame when you steal, place shame when you steal. Feel like you ain't Feel like you don't feel confidence in yourself. Breaking no marble floors. Watching anonymous strangers telling me that I'm yours. But you ain't no confession. Tolerance, nothing special. What can I blame you for? God can name several. Situation I start with your little sister baking. A baby aside, just a teenager. Where your patience? What was your antennas? What was the influence you speak of? You preached in front of 100,000 but never reached her. I can tell you, can fail you. You ain't no leader. I never liked you, forever despised you. I don't need you. The world don't need you. Don't let them deceive you. Numbers lie too. Your pride too. That's for dedication. Thought money would change you. Made you more complacent. Can hate you. I hope you embrace it. I swear loving you is complicated. 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 Loving you, not loving you, want it proof.
I can feel love and recognize that you're ashamed of me. Yes, I hate you too.
And you've been listening to Sugar My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. What you're listening to right now in the background is You from Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. It's a 2015 Aftermath Records release. And among others on this recording, we have Kamasi Washington playing tenor saxophone and Bilal, the singer. It's providing background vocals along with Jessica Velmas and SZA. Before that, we heard Final Thought from its Brain Feeder 2015 release. We've been showcasing that release this evening, or as much as we can. Of it, 17 songs, people, so you have to get your hands on it yourself to hear everything else. And before that, we heard The Next Step and Henrietta Our Hero, also from the Epic. Before that, we heard Tripping from George Duke. Dream Weaver was the name of that release. That's a 2013 Heads Up International release. And before that, we heard Kamasi Washington's version of Claire de Lune, which was dedicated to bandleader extraordinaire, the late Gerald Wilson, who transitioned earlier this year. And don't forget that Kamasi Washington will be at the BRIC BRIC Jazz Festival on the 15th, and he will be at La Poisson Rouge on the 16th. So check him out. You'll be able to see him live. Starting Monday, WBAI will be in fundraising mode. So if we do come back on the 18th of October, we too will be in fundraising mode when we are presented to you. So help when you can. Help as much as you can. And every cent is greatly appreciated. Coming up next on WBAI is La Nueva Alternativa. Peace.
Earthquakes on every weekend, because you shook as soon as you knew confinement was needed. I know your secrets, don't let me tell them to the world about this what you thinking. And then time to eat this about the Earl. I'm up, but I ain't as tough as you. You just can't get right. I think your heart made a bulletproof. Should kill your long time ago. You should have filled that black revolver blast long time ago. And if the spirits can talk it and say you gotta go. And if I told your secrets, the world of no money can't stop a suicidal weakness.
Hello? Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.